just need one word to get to you. So tell me now, do you want it? Cause these dancing feet don't cry to the rhythm that cry for you.
Scalzo and Frost on a Wednesday. Alex Strofe, Colin Russo in for the fellas. We're on vacation. A week ahead of their show's ending. Of their departure. Indeed. But you know what that music means, as this fella likes to say. He is our Packers insider here each and every weekday morning from 9 to noon, along with the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher. He is the great Jason Wilde joining us here on Scalzo and Brust ahead of talking to Matt LaFleur in just a few minutes. Jason, appreciate the time. Let's just get right into it. Jonathan Taylor, what the heck? I did not see that one coming, as the Packers apparently tried to make a move on the disgruntled Colts running back and former Badger. Your reaction to this report is what?
Yeah, it makes sense. And it also makes sense that Brian Gutekunst did not deny at any point in our conversation with him today that there were conversations that occurred about Jonathan Taylor. Now, he said that A.J. Dillon is part of this team and he was going to be regardless, so reports that A.J. Dillon might have been included in the trade, he certainly was denying those. But at no point did he say, yeah, we didn't talk to the Colts about Jonathan Taylor. That never happened. He said that, hey, sometimes we're used as leverage. But if there are good players available to us and we'd like to make the Green Bay Packers better, we're going to look at those opportunities. So he made it very clear that, and this is the quote that I thought was really compelling in terms of confirming without flat out saying it, that they talked to the Colts. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing if we're not investigating these things, at least listening to these things. So there you go. You obviously have this conversation. Now, whether or not they were close or not, or whether or not that the trade could still happen, because remember, just because this artificial deadline was set by the Colts of the 53-man cutdown, is not actually the deadline for making a trade. Obviously, that would be the trade deadline on October 31st.
You know, with getting a guy like Jonathan Taylor obviously comes with a price tag. You know, the second you get him, he's a free agent next year. He comes with an extension, I would say, within the realm of $11 to $15 million a year, maybe 3 years, maybe $25 million guaranteed. That's a big price tag when you already got one guy on the roster. I know he's a free agent next year, in Aaron Jones. Is this all about just making Jordan Love's life that much easier? Is that really the basis of dancing in the running back market right now?
So I think it's, Colin, I think it's buying some years of youth. And if you're going to pay someone, paying someone that you think is better, even though they obviously tried to say very positive things about A.J. Dillon, somebody that you think is better than the guy that you picked in the very same draft that the Colts picked Jonathan Taylor in. Colts took Taylor at 41, Packers took Dillon at 62. Dillon, as you pointed out, is in the last year of his contract. He's going to be a free agent. Aaron Jones has another year left on his deal, but it's, again, at $16 million again. And they wouldn't pay him that this year. He took a $5 million pay cut to stay at $11 million, which was smart of him, because if you look at what Dalvin Cook got from the Jets, he got less than he would have gotten staying with the Vikings on a pay cut. So, look, the bottom line is their running back room could look vastly different a year from now. It could not include both A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. And
no.
So if they were to go a different direction, this is a guy that maybe they feel like he's enough of a difference maker that they're willing to pay him. And as you pointed out, Colin, with the contract thing, they're going to have to pay him. But you can structure it in a way to get him a bunch of money up front and then mitigate your risk, because that's clearly what's happening with the running back market as of now. They do not want to be paying well into the future for a position that has been devalued.
Jason Wilde with us here on Scalzo and Brust. Alex Strofe, Colin Russo in for the fellas. So on this, you let off, Jason, with it makes sense. And I'm struggling to make it make sense. I understand the youth movement, and to your point, adding years, right? Because you and I have talked about this a million times over the course of the offseason. We don't expect the Packers to be super, super good in 2023, but 24, 25, if things work out, this could be a really good team for several years. But I just don't get it, right? Like, you're trying to hit the reset button. You're trying to reset the books a little bit. I love Jonathan Taylor. I'm a Badgers fan. Of course, I would love to see him in green and gold. But I don't get the idea of doing it right now, if that makes sense.
Is Jonathan Taylor at, what is he, 24?
24, 25, tops?
Is he better than Aaron Jones?
Right now, I'd say yes, he is.
100%.
Is he better than A.J. Dillon?
You know my answer.
Yeah. So now you get him from a team that is, to some degree, right? I mean, they can claim all they want that, you know, they don't have to make any sort of move. But, you know, did you see the quote from Chris Ballard, the former Badgers wide receiver from the Don Morton era, I might add? The situation sucks. It sucks for the Colts. It sucks for Jonathan Taylor. And it sucks for the fans. But it's where we're at. We're going to work through it. Relationships are repairable. They are, unless one side doesn't want to repair it. And so it may not, we may get to the point, and look, I don't think I'd want to work for Jim Irsay either, frankly. So we may get to the point where if you can get someone of Jonathan Taylor's talent at a discounted price in terms of the trade, even if you have to pay him, you're going to theoretically pay him less then you're going to pay both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon combined, right? So if you then back him up with Emmanuel Wilson and a draft pick from next year's draft, I think it makes sense. So again, I think it's likely to happen? I don't. But I'm really fascinated by the Colts situation here because, you know, Jonathan Taylor, I don't know what the resolution will eventually look like. And we all know from another former Badgers running back who tried this years earlier when he was with the Chargers, former ESPN Madison intern Melvin Gordon, that Melvin Gordon was on the leading edge of this. He saw this storm brewing for running backs getting devalued, and he tried to get out in front of it. It didn't really work out great for him. And now Jonathan Taylor is trying the same thing, and he's hoping for better results.
Yeah, I get all that, right? Like, it is an upgrade. I totally agree. But I guess I'm just confused by the vision.
Am I not going to be able to convince you that this makes sense? Like, you sound like you sound a little dug in. Jim Irsay, which I never thought I'd compare you to.
Whoa, now that's too far. I'd rather you compare me to Mark Murphy than Jim Irsay, and you know my feelings on Mark Murphy, Jason. But I guess I'm lost on the vision, right? Because it seems like, and we've talked about this, like I said, you know, it seems like they're really trying to lead up for success in 24 and 25, but they haven't helped Jordan Love a ton, right? Their oldest wide receiver is Christian Watson, or most experienced wide receiver is Christian Watson. If they're not willing to go get a guy that can make an impact to wide receiver, why at the position going into the season you feel most comfortable about are you inquiring about, right, with Jonathan Taylor? And I understand the contractual obligations and situations with Jones and Dillon coming up after this year, but they're not setting him up for success at a maybe more crucial position like wide receiver in his first year as a starter. That's why this is confusing to me. I understand why it makes sense in 24 and 25, but not for 23.
Well, so you let's just say they were going to trade A.J. Dillon, okay? So now you swap out A.J. Dillon and you replace him with Jonathan Taylor, and now you have Jonathan Taylor and Aaron Jones in your backfield.
Super fun.
And you have Jonathan Taylor for your 24 and 25 running back room when you think you're going to be even far better than you're going to be this year. Like, you know, again, Goody's not going to flat out say it, but I did refer back to his answer from a couple weeks ago in a question I asked him today, and the bottom line is that they're playing for 24 and 25. I don't care that they're finding different ways to not say, well, we don't think we have a Super Bowl contender team. They don't have a Super Bowl contending team. They would love to win as many games as they can. They would love to be the Seahawks from last year who trade their franchise quarterback, somehow win 9 games and sneak in as the 7th seed And then you got all these young guys getting not only all the experience of all this season, but also getting the experience of playing in a playoff game. Are you kidding me? That'd be amazing for them. Now, it doesn't help your draft pick status because you'd obviously be farther down the draft, but you would get all kinds of those growing pains out of your system. And you've added someone far younger than Aaron Jones, who's, I think, going to be 29 this year, that you have as your running back, as your go-to guy for next year. You replenish the situation around Jonathan Taylor. You Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and Malik Heath and Samari Toure and Dontavian Wicks and Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft are all a year older. I'm telling you, they are gearing up for 24. They can't say that publicly, but that's what they're doing. And if you suddenly have Jonathan Taylor, arguably the best running back in the league, you know, you can say Christian Watson, you can argue some other guys. I think that it's probably smart for 2024. Now, this is, you know, what do you put the likelihood of this happening at? 5%? 10%? I have no idea. But, again, my point is that it makes sense. And if you have a chance to get him at a discounted price tag in a trade, the Colts wanted a first-round pick for him, right? That was what was reported when this first started, when they gave him permission to talk. You know, by the time we get to October, if this has continued to be acrimonious, you know, maybe A.J. Dillon in a fourth-round pick suddenly looks a lot more appealing. And you don't have to pay A.J. Dillon nearly as much as Jonathan Taylor's going to command. And maybe that is something that Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay are willing to do. This could be a whole mountain of nothing, but as people who cover the University of Wisconsin and cover the Packers, this is like manna from heaven, baby. This is the kind of story that covers both fan bases, and we're all fascinated by it.
You're totally right, and I certainly wouldn't be mad about it. It just still not making a ton of sense to me. Jason, go talk to Matt LaFleur. We appreciate you as always.
I feel like I tried really hard to explain that, and you make it sound like I made no progress whatsoever.
Yeah, you made a little. Jason, you made a little.
He's completely lost.
He's a bozo.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's completely lost.
You're a bozo, Josh. Thank you, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, you hear him every day, 9 to noon, with the Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher on Wilde and Tausch across ESPN Wisconsin. Always appreciate his insight. He's very good at convincing me. Otherwise, right, like we did the State of the Packers show. We do it every summer from Summerfest, where we do 2 or 3 hours talking about the state of the Packers prior to training camp starting. And I went in feeling really optimistic at the beginning of July. And by the end of those couple of hours with Jason and Gabe Neitzel, I felt like this team probably going to win 6 games, and I feel like they might win 8 now.
Well,
so,
Jason's around. He gets it. You know, he sees the OTAs. He talks to these guys.
Well, I understand that, Colin, but I just feel like he's a little pessimistic for my fandom sometimes. What's so funny, Josh?
You just shot him right down. He's just trying to help you out.
No, I'm
sick of people trying to help me out.
Clearly, he needs some explanation. Like
I don't need it spelled out to me. It doesn't make a ton of sense. It doesn't. And again, it's not like I'd be mad about Jonathan Taylor becoming a Packer. I would be thrilled about it, right? Especially if it's A.J. Dillon going to Indy other than Aaron Jones, right? You get a year of Aaron Jones and Jonathan Taylor. Who's got the best 1-2 punch in the league right now? Maybe New Orleans with Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams, right? Like, that blows that out of the water. You've got 2 of the top 7-8 backs in the league in the same backfield. It's exciting. But how much of LaFleur's offense uses 2 running backs?
He would adjust. That's a player that you make the offense kind of revolve around. The idea you're confused about the vision of it all. The vision of it all is we want the Packers, the youngest team in the league already, want to get younger. They have the ability to spend some money at one of the 3 big positions, as wide receiver, quarterback, and running back, and they're able to spend some money at running back because they get cheap receivers and they get a cheap quarterback. So yeah. If they could get a better running back and not have to deal with Aaron Jones when he's really old and A.J. Dillon re-signing him, why not do it now? Get the extension rolling already. Get him involved. You have the rights to him. He's going to sign the extension instead of trying to go after him in free agency. It's a lot easier to kind of get him now, acclimate him with Jordan Love, and then the team can finally next year when they're younger and better, and that's what's going to...
Okay, I don't
that's
need...
That's the vision. What are you confused about? That's the vision. That is what they're doing.
I get it in 24 and 25.
Get younger.
I don't get it in 23. This team's not winning the Super Bowl with or without Jonathan
Taylor.
But
it's availability. It's situational. Jonathan Taylor's available right now. I mean, sure, he might be available in free agency.
There are a million wide receivers receivers that make your first-year starting quarterback available 3 months ago, and they wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah, that's a free agency thing. I understand that. That makes a lot of sense. I think they should have gotten some receivers as well. But the reality...
You want
reality,
your players, you want your first-round pick next year.
The reality of the fact is, they knew they were going to be young. One of their older position groups is the position that needs to be the youngest in the running back position.
Sure.
And Jonathan Taylor, while he's not the youngest guy in the room, and he has a lot of mileage to him, he's still a proven talent. So they're trying to make it younger. They're trying to solidify it. And by the time that, like Jason said, 2024, 2025 comes around, guess what? You got a running back. You got a lot of the guarantees out of the way already. He's a proven player. He's a Wisconsin guy. And everybody around you is that much better and more experienced.
I think I've figured it out. I think I know why I'm apprehensive on this. It's because I'm just not used to the Packers not winning football games. And when you make a splash move or attempt to make a splash move, in the case of landing a running back as good as Jonathan Taylor, it makes me feel like, yeah, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Except, yeah, we might not even win 8 games in 2023, even if you add Jonathan Taylor. I like the idea, again, in 24 and 25. In 23... I just don't know if it moves the knee. Like, it does a little bit, but so is that 8-9 games?
Do you just propose to tell, hey, Jim Irsay, just sit on this so I can get Jonathan Taylor in a spot that's better for me personally? Like, Colin said it perfectly. He's available now. They can get a lot better.
It's situational.
But how much better, Joshy? Right? Like, how many, let's pause right here. How many games will the Packers win in 2023, your official prediction on August 30th without Jonathan Taylor?
This all has to do with 2024 and 2025. So what asset are you losing in 2023 that's going to matter to you, or in 2024, when we all know they're playing for 2 years from now?
I think this is also a vote of confidence for this year, too. They want to make the playoffs. The NFC is wide open. Your division's not that great. Why are you opposed to this? Because they're trying to make the playoffs. They're probably going to get a playoffs. I mean, not probably. They could very well get a playoff spot with 8-9 wins. That
sure.
Jonathan Taylor might do that. He might give him a win here and there. You know, he's better than what you have right now. I firmly believe that.
Anders Carlson's going to lose him 3 games. So, I don't know. I mean, what are we doing here? Rookie kicker, rookie punter, rookie holder. Special teams doesn't matter that much, but it does when everybody can't do their jobs very well.
If they're at 7 games and the running back room's a little banged up or like they're not playing that well, you would have wished they've gotten Jonathan Taylor. If they have 7,
I'm not saying I don't want Jonathan Taylor. I don't know where this is coming from.
But you're saying you don't understand the vision. You don't understand the vision. That's why they're doing
it. If you want to add a talent that will help elevate a first-year quarterback, you think you would have put an emphasis on wide receiver.
But there's that's not saying that the running back
does
not help.
What is Dontavian Wicks going to do for Jordan Love in his first?
Well, Jonathan Taylor will help Jordan Love. How do you not believe that? He's going to get 25
carries. So will Aaron Jones.
Not as well.
I don't disagree with that, but I don't think it moves the bar as much as maybe a solid number one wide receiver is. I love Christian Watson. Is he a number one receiver in the eyes of other NFL teams? No, not right now. He's not. Can he get to that level? Yes, I fully believe that after the flash we saw last year. Go ahead, Joshy.
What are they doing for pass catchers? They got all young guys. They invested in Luke Musgrave. They have both those Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson coming
but
back.
Joshy,
and they're continually investing in the position.
Receivers are also plug and play. You could get one next offseason. You know, you got the opportunity now.
Me.
Lock down the running back position for the next 3 years. Don't have to deal with it. You get a rookie behind him or something like that. Boom. Running back room is set. You got Jordan Love cheap next year. Get a receiver that you can get for even longer into the future. Getting him now and quote-unquote wasting him on an off year in 2023. Sure, you're acting like it's not worth it. It totally, in my eyes, totally would be completely worth it to get, sure, a pass catcher, but that's not going to happen. But if you have the running back available, why not pull the trigger?
I don't know when I became such a negative guy.
Jason Wilde's rubbing off on you a little bit.
What happened to me? I'm confused by me. I'm confused by Brian Gutekunst. I'm confused by me. I like Jonathan Taylor. I just want to win. And not saying he wouldn't help that in 2023, but what are we doing? I mean, and Joshy, to your point on wide receivers, yes, they're investing in the position, right? Like, I have really high hopes for Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, and I like Luke Musgrave. But if Brian Gutekunst, and it's a short track record, but if his track record of landing targets in the draft is anything, let's not forget Jamon Moore and Equanimeous St. Brown and Jace Sternberger.
Amari Rodgers.
Well, let's be honest, both Jaden Reed and Luke Musgrave look better than any of those guys you just named him in the short amounts we've seen so far.
But and I struggle with this too, Joshy, because I know you and I are on the same page when it comes to Jordan Love. Like, I think his floor has absolutely risen over the course of 3 preseason games. I'm confident he can be, if not a good quarterback, a very serviceable quarterback in 2023. I think you and I are on the complete same page there. But when it comes to a guy like Jaden Reed, we had this much hype around Amari Rodgers, and that flamed into nothing, right? And I don't
remember that hype being the same.
I think as a returner, it was the Randall Cobb comparisons. And Jaden Reed, rightfully so, is getting them. He's much bigger than Randall Cobb, but he has kind of that swagger and ability in the slot and maybe in the return game that Cobb did as a rookie, too. And we heard that with Amari Rodgers. So maybe I'm just being overly pessimistic when it comes to this situation. It is fascinating to me, but I can't say something's a proven thing until it's a proven thing. And I'm probably going too far on Jordan Love by calling him a good quarterback before he really starts a season as a starting quarterback. But I just, when it comes to rookie pass catchers, it's very hard to be a Justin Jefferson or a Jamar Chase. And like those are the exception, not the rule. And when it comes to a guy like Luke Musgrave, is he exciting as hell? Yeah, absolutely. Right? Like, what is he, 6'6", 250, and fast as heck? Like, he's an exciting guy by all means, but he's unproven. And I guess that's my concern for 23. So if we're going to make an all-in move like Jonathan Taylor, one of the top three, if not the number one back in the NFL, I just feel like you should be in win-now mode. And that's something, obviously, the Packers organization lacked when Aaron Rodgers was still in town. We'll continue to take your texts and continue to talk JT to GB on the ESPN Wisconsin Talking Text Line, 800-990-3776. I apologize for being a pessimistic Patty. I just like winning. Alex Stroff, Colin Russo in for the fellas here on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Bud Light. We'll play some one or zeros coming up next.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
Was it known that you were going to make margaritas? Austin here says no.
One would assume that the Mar guy is going to make margaritas.
The Mar guy, I go
self-proclaimed. Back self-proclaimed.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
But it's
a thing.
But that's just in your personal life.
Your head.
No, Austin knows this.
I never would have thought of Ben as the Mar guy.
I don't care what you think.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.